So I'm sure at first you've noticed that we moved from the Gospel of Mark into the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, and we'll be here for the next 5 weeks until the 22nd week of this cycle. And so this powerful sense of these disciples, we saw last week when we were left the same situation in the Gospel of Mark, that this huge crowd had gathered around Jesus and he'd had compassion on them and set about to teach them at some length. But as this Gospel begins today with the unique perspective of John's Gospel, John gives us all of these hints to tie what this is really all about. First, we're told that Jesus goes up the mountain to begin to teach the people. Of course, the mountain should always be a flag for us. A mountain is one of those places, the place where you go to encounter the Lord, just as so many of the great figures of the Old Testament had always found the Lord when they went up the mountains. So also Jesus goes there as this place to be in the very presence of God. And so he gets the people to sit down, and what does he do? He himself sits down. It was always the sign of the rabbi teaching and instructing the community and the people. And so he sits down as the people then assemble around him to listen to his teaching. So this whole sense of the figure of Moses is also being imaged here. Jesus being the new Moses, Jesus being the new teacher. So it's very liturgical what's happening here. The whole sense of the Eucharist as we first gather, the first part is the teaching, the liturgy of the word, that we listen to what God wants us to hear. But then John gives us this other little clue. He says the feast of the Passover was drawing near. What did the Passover celebrate and commemorate? But that day, that wonderful, magical, incredible day when God acted with his mighty right hand to release the people of Israel from the slavery of Egypt into the freedom of the wilderness. And how did it happen? By the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. The Lamb of God was offered in the place of the people, and they were able to be liberated and set free. And where do we commemorate that? But of course, on the very altar of the Lord. And so this very liturgical, Eucharistic imagery is already here, reminding us that this is not just any ordinary meal. This is not just any other moment of teaching, but it's that place of encounter, that place where we get every time we gather to celebrate the Eucharist, to meet and encounter the Lord as he teaches us and as he feeds us. And then we're told in this beautiful dialogue that we only find in the Gospel of John, the only miracle that is told in all four Gospels, and of course Mark and Matthew tell this story twice, but this powerful sense of Jesus then wanting to feed and provide all of the basic and essential needs of this community. And so we have this dialogue with Philip. Philip, where should we find food for this crowd of people to eat? And, you know, Philip, just being the pragmatist, will say, of course, oh, come on, man. You know, it's late. How are we going to go find enough money to go and to buy food for all of this people? 200 denarii. It was a whole heap of money. In our language, it would be about $40,000. You know, so it's not just a little piddling amount of money, but this huge amount of money. And Philip is just saying, well, that's just enough to give them just a little piece of food each. $8, it would work out for the 5,000 men, let alone trying to feed all of the rest of the crowd, perhaps 15, 20,000 people that were gathered there on this day. So this huge need, this huge amount of money that is needed. And did they have it? No, they didn't. Because remember 2 weeks ago that they'd set out to go and to by two to proclaim the gospel, to be the very bearers of the mystery, and they'd left everything behind. Jesus had told them, don't take any money with you. So they didn't have any money to be able to offer to this crowd. So they were empty-handed, and yet they were still wanting to do what they could. I mean, if the disciples had their way, I'm sure they would just say, look, just send them away. Just make them, let them tend for themselves. Let them look after their own needs. But Jesus here says, no. We need to feed the people. We need to do what we can. What do we have? What is available? What is possible in this particular situation? And we're told, of course, that, well, there is this little boy, and he has these five barley loaves, connecting us back to that same miracle there in the first reading with Elisha. The whole sense of what is such a small, frail offering, and yet it's enough in the hands of Jesus. One of the unique things about the Gospel of John is that here it's Jesus himself who takes this bread, who takes this offering of the five barley loaves and the couple of fish of this little boy, and he himself who blesses it, who gives thanks for it. Again, very liturgical, Eucharistic language that is being used, because here we're encountering the very mystery of what we do every time that we gather, every time that we come with empty hands and we feel that everything is just too much, that at times it just seems there's just too many needs, too much, it's too far beyond us. We can't possibly do all the things that we want to do. And yet the Lord says, what do you have? What can you offer? That'll be enough. Just bring what you have, bring it before me, and allow me to take hold of that. Allow me to be the one to bless that, to distribute that. And it's Jesus himself who distributes it. It's Jesus himself who feeds every single person in that crowd on that day as they're gathered there in those little groups of people. It's Jesus himself who provides that greatest need, the greatest answer. I'm sure you've heard other preachers who will say, well, perhaps the miracle is simply that, you know, this small boy's example inspired others in the crowd to also share their own lunches or their own food, and to there was the multiplication in that way. I mean, what a load of bunkum. I mean, it's just such a bizarre interpretation that has been so commonly used in the last few decades. It's so missing the point of the power of this transformation, of Jesus reaching into this little offering and saying, that's enough. This incredible multiplication, this incredible abundance of God in his mercy and in his love, wanting to remind us that whatever we bring, that will be enough. But it's in seeing that and in that transformation that can only happen and only come when we bring the little that we offer to our God and allow him to do the rest. I mean, so often we find that our hands are just unable to really let go and to surrender the things that we know the Lord might be offering and inviting us to let go of. I mean, sometimes we cling so desperately and so hard to so many things, so many relationships, so many desires, so many goals, so many ambitions, so many longings that we might have. And we say, look, Lord, just let me hold onto that. Let me hold onto this. Let me just be the one that has control over these things. And the Lord will say, no, follow the example of that little boy. Follow the example of him who brought and gathered and shared what he had so that I could bless and bring that abundance and allow this miracle to happen. Allow this prophetic sign of the abundance of God's love to be something that we are able to realize. You know, it's that power of letting go and surrendering that is at the heart of this miracle today. You know, that's all that the Lord requires of us, this desire to simply come with empty hands, to open ourselves before God. I want to do an experiment now. So I want everyone to now clasp their hands shut. Now, you might be clasping onto a relationship, you might be clasping onto, you know, some idea or some vision or some desire. You might be clasping onto this sense of who you are as a person. Now, with hands clasped, I want you to try and pick up the bulletin or the hymn book or something else. Anyone able to pick up anything? What about shaking hands with the person next to you? Can you shake hands with the person next to you? But with our nails clasped deep into our hands, when we're holding on to these things, when we're holding on and clinging fast, I mean, we can, you know, do all kinds of things, but we're unable to share with one another. We're unable to be useful in terms of picking things up or sharing things or offering the sign of peace. And yet, So often that's the way that we live our lives. We cling so desperately onto all of these things, all of these relationships, all of these desires, all of these ambitions, all of these hopes, all of this wanting all kinds of things of sex, money, power, wealth. And yet what God is saying to us is, be like that little boy and just come and to offer the things that you have. So now, let go of those things, let go of those desires, and allow God to be your all in all. Allow God to be enough for you today. And how about we now turn and offer each other with hands open, a sign of peace.